Welcome, everyone, to episode 4 of the podcast of Casinos USA. I'm your host today, and my name's Coach Fav. We are starting out today with a very provocative question, but it's probably a question that you've heard before and maybe you've even discussed it. The question is gambling immoral? The most common answer is probably yes and no. For example, many people support gambling, but they're opposed to casino gambling. How's that? When a Little League baseball team or a community softball team is selling chances probably based on the state daily number in the lottery, that's fine. When the church down the street is holding bingo games or night at the races on a Wednesday evening, or the volunteer fire department is raffling off a car at their annual Labor Day community picnic, that's super. So many community and municipal leaders who oppose casino gambling in their public positions participate in these other types of gambling. They say it's for a good cause. It helps the kids, helps the firemen, and so forth. If you see some hypocrisy in this, I do too, but just a little. But in today's podcast, I want to call your attention to two buildings, and I probably should say philosophies, that would seem juxtaposition, and yet they get along just fine. In your mind, let's travel to the Las Vegas Strip. The Wynn properties on the Las Vegas Strip on their north border are next to the Catholic Guardian Angel Cathedral. It's called a cathedral because it's the location of the bishop's chair. It's the bishop's church, in other words, the bishop of the Diocese of Las Vegas. One Easter Sunday, my wife and I attended Sunday Mass in this ultra-modern cathedral, right next to Steve Wynn's gambling properties. Before the bishop got started with his homily, he welcomed all the guests and out-of-towners who were in the cathedral for Easter Sunday Mass. In fact, he asked all such people to stand and introduce themselves to those around them. And almost immediately, dozens of people throughout the church were shaking hands and saying, "Hey, I'm from New Jersey, I'm from Canada, I'm from Columbus, Ohio." It set a nice tone and a nice feeling. Then the bishop said something that I will never forget. He said, speaking to the tourist, "If any of you have had some good luck with gambling at the casinos, and you have a few casino chips in your purses or jacket pockets, go ahead and throw them in the collection basket today. That's fine with us. You see, we have a monk who stays here on our property at the cathedral. And every 2 weeks, he takes the casino chips that people give us on Sundays back to the casinos for the cash. You know what? We call him the Chip Monk." Of course, the church broke into laughter, and the good bishop laughed along with all of us. I remember thinking, what a cool bishop. I paid close attention to his serious homily that followed because he had won me over with his lighthearted comments. Next time you're in Las Vegas on a Sunday and you want to attend the Guardian Angel Cathedral, you will be in awe of its aesthetic beauty. Be sure that you take some photos after the service to share them with your friends back home. One of my Pittsburgh nun friends from the Order of the Sisters of St. Francis asked me for a printed copy of one of the photos of the Guardian Angel Cathedral when I shared it to her from my phone. It's a great symbol of how gambling is not immoral per se. Many organizations, including many different churches, depend on gambling as a fundraiser. My wife Jane spoke to several members of the cathedral choir after Mass and many of the musicians who accompanied the singers. Many of them played and sang on the Las Vegas Strip for a living, you know, as part of the orchestra or backup singers. In fact, she thought the music in this church was the best church music she had ever heard. There was so much talent. It's true for me, too. 9 or 10 of those performing during the cathedral masses performed so well professionally. What talent. You know, there's some podcast listeners who give karma donations before they go to Las Vegas to their favorite podcast and maybe their favorite host. Well, if you ever think that way about Casinos USA, we'd be just as happy if you give your donation, your karma donation, to a church in the Las Vegas area. Now let's discuss the power of comps. And of course, I'm talking about the comps that casinos give. There's an old expression, there's so many free things in Las Vegas, but you can't afford it. That's right. It's free, but you can't afford it. If you put a couple hundred dollars a day, that's saving $300 a day into a slot machine or slot machines, and then jump for joy when you get free breakfast buffets the next day. Hey, paying $45 for the two buffets would be a much better deal because the two so-called free buffets cost you at least $150 each. And that's a whole lot more than, what, $22.50? Yeah, yes, I know it's true, and so do you. Still, for nearly all recreational gamblers, the power of being comped is a big attraction. And after we stay in a casino hotel and you're gambling with a player's card to identify yourself, shortly upon your return home, you'll most likely receive a brochure in the regular U.S. mail or an email that offers you a free night or two on your next trip. If the comp is light, it may just be that you get a casino rate on your hotel room. And this happens no matter if you won or lost. You still get the comp offers. And you know, it's hard not to get excited about these offers. One of the married couples on the Casinos USA team always say that it's so hard to go on vacation to anywhere but Las Vegas because in Vegas they get 5 nights comped, totally comped, each spring at the MGM Grand. I kind of feel that way too, just a little bit. We play in casinos throughout the United States on a regular basis, generally twice a month. And almost daily in the U.S. mail, I get offers from casinos in Vegas, Indiana, Maryland, Iowa, West Virginia, Illinois, and it goes on. And they're offering me free nights and a buffet. Often there is free play on the slots, too. It's a great deal. But we understand that we may lose money when we go for the free rooms and all the rest that comes with it. Nonetheless, we do not always lose. We almost always have fun. And we try to enjoy the general area that surrounds a casino resort. There is a way, if you're willing to get an edge up on comps, that we will discuss in detail in a Casinos USA newsletter. If you are a subscriber, watch for it in your inbox, or check our Facebook page, Casinos USA, which is a public group, as we post our newsletters there. But some of our Vegas comps have been amazing. Recently, we stayed in Terrace Suites at the Cosmopolitan for $15 a day. We stayed in suites at Treasure Island for 3 nights free several times. We have enjoyed a reduced suite rate at the Encore and 4 free nights in a rather impressive suite at the Stratosphere. One summer, we stayed a full week, Sunday through Saturday, at the Rio for free with 2 free buffets daily, any meal that we chose. It goes on and on. Those of us who enjoy the recreational gambling hobby have many experience with comps, although low rollers, very low rollers some days, we may be. Once in a southern Indiana casino, after I had great success at a craps table, an assistant casino manager offered me some comp nights and food. In fact, it was a lobster special dinner. If we would just stay a few more nights, an extended stay. You know, my wife and I did stay for one more night, and we enjoyed our lobster dinners, but we did not gamble. We went to a movie, so he probably was not too happy about the comps he gave us. For the casino, comps are all about getting you to stay and eating at their place and then losing money gambling. Unfortunately, we all seem to forget their point in giving us comps. It's not because they like us so much. Oh, hey, too often it's because we just love being comped. I think the condition is called casino fever. Whatever it is, I have it sometimes. And it always leads me to another comp situation. When someone is playing at a table game of their choice, I would suggest don't go in for $100 or $200, even if that's your loss limit. Like, you know, if you lose $200, you're done. I try to go in for at least $1,000. Why? Because I believe that affects my comp a bit. If the pit boss who is watching me is looking to see what my first bet might be, I will often put in $25 or more, even if it's a $5 table. I want her to see me as a $25 player or above. But truthfully, it's probably not so smart to do this. In fact, gaming author and gambling professional John Golihan, who writes with a lifetime of experience, said in his notable book, Pay the Line, the smart gambler should start small until he or she is ahead. No gambler in their right mind begins with big bets. So says Mr. Golihan. Another author, Barney Vinson, in his famous work, Las Vegas Behind the Tables, is more specific. Barney says that the final tabulation of comps for the player has nothing to do with the first bet. Oh man, that hurts me. He also reminds us that a true professional gambler plays for cash, not for comps. Little Joe Vesci, okay. But I admit, for so many of us, we dig the casino comps. Rodney Dangerfield once joked in his comedic routine that he lost $1,000 at a blackjack table in Las Vegas, and he didn't even get comped. No matter, he said. I later stole 1,000 sweet and low packets from the casino cafe to make it even. Jill Nicole and her son, Caden. Jill left the Pittsburgh area in her early 40s to move to Las Vegas and to work in Las Vegas, and they have been there 4 years. So those of you who have entertained the idea of someday living in Las Vegas, either in retirement or to seek professional work there and raise a family there, I think you might be interested in this. So very shortly, I'll be introducing Jill, Nicole, and Caden. Here she is. We're now with Jill, and Jill, welcome to our Pittsburgh studio.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Jill, I know you've lived in Las Vegas 4 years now, and my first question is, what advice would you give to others, you know, in their 30s or 40s that are thinking about moving to Las Vegas and working there, living there, raising a family there, etc.?
Well, I think it's a great thought. I mean, there is no place like Las Vegas. Essentially, it's another planet. All the positive energy from the people. It's a really fun place to live. I think when you go, though, you have to be careful. And I would suggest renting, because the area is so diverse, depending on where you are from the Strip, that you might find out you prefer a different location. For example, when I first went, I lived 2 minutes from Mandalay Bay Valet. It was in an industrial setting, so I had an acre to myself. Three-story house, beautiful place to live, but it was really isolated, so it wasn't the perfect family house. And then I moved southwest of the Strip, and I was in downtown Summerlin, which happens to be a really happening place currently. In fact, I lived next door to a craps dealer from the Venetian, and his wife had been a dancer with Siegfried and Roy. A great neighborhood, great community in Summerlin. And then I moved south of the Strip. I live currently 5 minutes from the M Casino. Up in Anthem, I have a higher elevation. I have a fantastic mountain view. And I'm a little more removed from the hustle and bustle that we all think of as Vegas. And that's what I prefer. So I think you really have to, I would suggest renting and checking Las Vegas out before you purchase a home. But yeah, move there. It's a fun place.
Joe, I know you've mentioned to me that it's an amazing number. 5,000 people a month are moving to Las Vegas. Wow. But I was asking, thinking about people from the Pittsburgh area, friends, you know, that you grew up with, et cetera, people that you worked with in Pittsburgh. When they come to Las Vegas and contact you, do you find yourself in the role of a tour guide? Like, how do you deal with that when, say, oh, Jill, we're going to be in Las Vegas and we want to get together. So how do you deal with that? I know that happens a lot to you. You mentioned it to me.
Yeah, well, Las Vegas locals get a 10% to 15% discount everywhere we go, so we're cool people to hang out with. And as a favor to all Las Vegas locals, we want to tell our friends that visit that we do have jobs and we do have to wake up early. I think that's the downside. We want to hang out, but we live there and work there, so we can't have as much fun as they can. I like to take people off the strip. Red Rock is spectacular. We're close to the Hoover Dam. Grand Canyon's 2 hours away. And places that have built up right off the strip, the district, Green Valley, Town Square is booming. They're putting a lot more money into it, a lot more focus on it. It's a really fun place to hang out for kids and adults. And then little mom and pop restaurants that are off the strip that are delish. We like to take our friends to those kind of places too, but it is really fun. The hardest part of living in Las Vegas is living so far away from family and friends. So when they visit, it just makes for a really awesome experience.
Jill, for my final question, I know that when you're staying on a strip or Fremont Street on vacation, you know, you tend to gamble every day. Even if you say, I'm not going to gamble tomorrow, you probably do. But living in Las Vegas, I can see where that could be dangerous, that impulse to gamble every day, because I know there's slot machines and off-strip casinos everywhere. So how do you deal with that issue of gambling? How much, how often?
Yeah, well, I did get quite an experience living in Las Vegas, seeing the dark side of gambling and what a gambling addiction is. And I used to wonder when I first moved out why Craigslist had such awesome deals compared to back east. You can get designer furniture at, you know, next to nothing. And it was because people did lose everything. But I think it comes back to what you say on this podcast. You have to go in with a limit. You have to decide what you're willing to lose, what you're going to spend that night. And I mean, living in Las Vegas, we can go into Kmart, a gas station, and we can gamble anytime we want. So it doesn't probably have the same effect on locals as it does to others. But we go in, we go to hang out at casinos. We really go for the shows and the restaurants. And we, you know, I play slots, the penny slots at that. So I decide whether I'm going to put 20 in or 40. And, you know, once in a blue moon, $100 that I'm willing to lose. But we just do it for fun. I think you have to have everything in perspective. But it is an issue for many.
Jill, what are the features that are so good for children? I mean, outside of the strip, you know, I know you're raising a child there. So just talk a little bit about someone coming to Las Vegas with a family.
Yeah, I'm always surprised when I get off the plane with Caden, how people are surprised that I'm bringing a kid to Las Vegas. But Las Vegas, Clark County, is the fifth largest school district in the nation. So we obviously have thousands and thousands of kids that live there. Just the climate itself, it's sunny all the time. Kids are playing outside all the time. We have massive parks, beautiful setting, things for kids to do outside. Of course, there's Red Rock, areas for them to explore.
First, I want to thank Casinos USA. This was really cool. National podcast, pretty heavy stuff. I'm glad to be a part of it. I also wanted to add that when you do go to Las Vegas, it's really amazing. You see machines everywhere. They're in Kmart. They're in your local gas stations. You can literally gamble any place in Las Vegas any time of day. And again, you just got to go there with the right mind and know exactly what you're going to allow yourself to lose. But yeah, living there is fun. The blue skies all the time, the sunny days all the time. It's really amazing. I know my son, Caden, can't wait to speak on this podcast, so I'm going to bring him into the studio now.
Hi, Caden. Welcome to Casinos USA, to the podcast. Thanks for coming down to the studio this morning with your mom. We appreciate it. And I know, Caden, that you're 8 and a half, so my first question to you is, what do you like about living in Las Vegas? You've been there 4 years, from 4 and a half to 8 and a half, so let's hear how you answer that one.
Well, I'm 8 and a half, but, like, you don't have to be 21 to go in, like, the casino hotels or, like, the casino like restaurants and the movies and stuff. And I like the swimming pools there, the buffets, the hotels. I love the hotels there.
Caden, and for this last question, I want to ask you about going to school in Las Vegas. I'm sure some people who are moving there are thinking about how their kids will react to the schools. I know your elementary school was one of the biggest schools in the country. You're a third grader, and there's 10. Your mom told me there's 10 third grade teachers. But tell me how you feel about your school.
The thing I like about my school is on recess, we can go wherever we want, but the teachers are always with us. And in the lunchroom, there's an extra table where if the table doesn't like have any room in it, then you can sit at that table. And in the classroom, we're good, and we get an hour of writing, which is awesome. And the teachers are good, and we learn a lot of stuff like arrays and stuff, which you guys probably never heard about, because in Las Vegas, we teach Common Core. I just want to tell kids that are my age that if your parents are like moving there, you'll love it, and you don't have to worry about it. And the thing I love most about it is that it's just really fun there because it has lots of fun stuff like Red Rock. I'm Caden from Las Vegas, and I'm signing out. Bye-bye.
I want to thank Jill and Caden for coming in today. And, you know, it's interesting to think about moving to Las Vegas and what it would be like. And I think Jill gave us some good advice. And 8.5-year-old Caden, the thing about school was recess, but you know, he truly enjoys living in Las Vegas. He calls it paradise. And thinking about paradise, well, we're off to another enjoyable road trip. We're off to Four Winds Casino, which is an Indian casino on Indian land in New Buffalo, Michigan. And we'll be giving you our impressions of Four Winds in our October 27th podcast. I want to remind all of our listeners that you can go on our website, that's casinosusa.bet, B-E-T, and listen to our past podcast. They're on our news and podcast page. Also, we have an extensive social media Facebook presence, Casinos USA. The photographs of our trips are on the social media page, and they're also on our website, casinosusa.bet. So again, thank you for being a listener. We're doing all this at no cost to you. You can subscribe to a newsletter from our website or just find it on our Facebook page. Our newsletters go into great depth, and we'll explore the various games and a lot of the attitudes and values associated with gambling. So there's quite a bit that we're offering you. We hope you enjoy it.
Every day is Saturday.